All right, Romans chapter number 10, and I want to talk to you about soul winning tonight. Now, I'm not a great soul winner or a great soul winning preacher, but I believe in it. I believe you ought to get people saved. I believe that's the reason for a missions conference. It's not just to have a dollar amount and say we gave so much money, but it's about seeing people come to know the Lord and be born again and wash in the blood of Christ and go to heaven from any continent, from any place. I mean, that's what it's about. It's getting people saved, getting people born again. And I'm not one of these guys that if you bow your head and repeat after me, you're in, amen, that kind of thing. I'm not into that. I believe you ought to tell a man the truth, make sure he understands the truth. I believe you ought to preach all the Bible. And I believe you ought to include the doctrine of repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And we're not looking for numbers to brag on, but I sure do want people to be saved, amen. And you never know, that might be the secret to your mission program. You might win somebody to Christ a lot of money. The Lord sent the disciples to catch a fish. He let them catch one with the money in his mouth, amen. And so I'd like to win somebody to the Lord with a lot of money. Amen. I'd really help. I mean, you never know. And you don't know how much money a man's got. You know, I'm amazed. Here about 3 or 4 years ago, I met a fellow. And a Latino guy, real good brother, just real nice guy, started attending our church down in Florida. Found out he come from Colombia, 15, 16, about 17 years ago now, came to Colombia, got in this country, and somebody took a Bible and led Brother Roberto to Christ. Found out it was a blessing. That old boy would come in there in a pair of boots and jeans and looked like he'd just come out of the horse barn. And you'd never know he had a dime. But anyway, that fella got saved. I mean, he got saved. He'd come in and talk about Christ and just weep. And one day, Tim preached a message on Calvary, and Brother Roberto came by and said, everybody that needs to hear that message, I want 100 copies. And he bought 100 CDs, that message on it of Calvary. He said, everybody need to hear that message, you know. And here about 2 or 3 years ago, I think the church at that time had a indebtedness of $203,000, I believe is what it was. And in the month of March, Tim preached on money all month long, preached on stewardship. And in that particular year, 2 years ago, I believe, he's preaching on money all that month. And he said, now, they need to do some building. But he said, I don't want to do any building, doing any kind of program, building programs until all this indebtedness is gone. He can pay this off. So he said, the last Sunday in March of that year, he said, we'll pass the plate, take a cash offering, whatever it is. We'll put that toward liquidating the debt. $203,000. So that's real good. And after the service that day, Brother Roberto came in the office and told him, he said, whatever that offering is that Sunday, whatever it lacks paying off that note, he said, I'll make up the difference. And so Tim said, well, now, you know, I don't know how much that offering is going to be. He said, I understand. And so he preached on it all month long. And on that Sunday, they took offerings, 40-some thousand, I believe is what it was. And so that cut that indebtedness down to about 160-some thousand. And old Brother Roberto paid the rest of it off. Amen. I'm glad somebody led him to Christ. Amen. I'm glad somebody got a hold of him and won him to the Lord. And I had no idea that he had a dime, buddy. But amen. I've marched him through the print shop several times, showed him in all the big press. Amen. 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 Yeah, why not, man? Bible said to charge them that are rich in this world, you know what, to be willing to distribute. And so that's a real blessing. Whoever won him to Christ didn't have money in mind, but there was some money there, amen. And so you need to try to get people saved. You need to try to get them born again. I mean, really saved, born again. You need to be conscious of it. And whether it's here or there, people need to be saved. And I suppose Romans chapter 10 is the most popular chapter in the Bible for winning people to Christ. And I do want to say this to you, that really, unless you elaborate and do a little preaching from Romans 10, it's not the salvation chapter. Romans 9, 10, and 11 are dispensational chapters. They're written to Israel. Somebody said, well, are they true for me? Yeah, they're true. And I think it was Don Mangus cleared it up for me. He said, well, it's like that's a Jew's mail. But, you know, if God sent the Jew a letter and said, now, if you follow these directions, you'll go to Birmingham, well, I'd read that Jew's letter and go the same route and get there too. Amen? And so, you know, because it's written to Israel, and it is. Just read 9, 10, 11, you'll see that. But if you want the doctrine of salvation, you go to back to Romans chapter 4, chapter 5 in there. And yet, when you take Romans 10 to elaborate on it, boy, you can tell people how to be saved. And Romans 10, 13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, don't make a mistake and stop there. go on to verse 14 and 15. It said, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so you can take that passage and do what it says and tell somebody how to be born again. You can tell them how to be saved. Amen. And so getting people saved, you need to be involved in it. And I believe it's every person's responsibility to try to get people saved. You know, I've had people saved before. In fact, I led a fellow to Christ one time up in Ohio, and he couldn't read or write. In fact, when he went to work every morning, he had to have somebody to sign for his tools. They had to check the tools out there in that company that he worked for and check them back in every night. He couldn't sign his name. He had somebody to sign for him every morning when he got his tools out. That old boy got saved as a result of a gospel tract. His wife got saved first. Gene Van Kirk, Gene got saved. Then Bob got saved. But anyway, Bob got under such a burden for souls that I'd have him call me about midnight one night. He said, "Preacher," he said, "there's a fellow over here that needs to be saved, but I can't show him how. I can't read." He said, "Will you show him how to be saved in the morning?" I said, "Bring him by here." And he'd bring him by my house about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd show him how to be saved. And that old boy, he couldn't read or write, but he got under such a burden for souls, wanted people to be saved, had a pool table in his basement, and he went down and busted that pool table up. They'd have him beer parties, and he quit drinking, of course, and he busted that pool table up. And of the summer, they'd get them little kids off the streets there in Cleveland, Ohio, bring them in, and take them down to the basement where that pool table was and set up a little old class there, and his wife teaching them Bible lessons. Well, one Wednesday, she called, and she said, "Preacher," I said, "could Bob use a church bus tonight?" I said, "I'd like to bring his little Bible class to church." I said, "Sure." And took that old rusty church bus, and he brought 43 kids to Bible, to Wednesday night prayer meeting. I preached the Word of God, and 13 of them come forward and said they want to be saved. Amen. Our fellow couldn't read or write. Amen. I take a guy like that. Amen. I heard Dr. Tom Malone say one time, said he had a fellow in his church, and he said everybody's got one, you know, somebody just an oddball, different from everybody in the world. And Tom Malone said in Emmanuel Baptist Church, and this is probably 40, 50 years ago, but said that their main auditorium had a door in every corner. You could come in back there, over here, over here, over here, either place. And their Bible class started 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and they broadcast live over the radio. And he said they had a fellow in that church that would come in every Sunday morning about 2 or 3 minutes after the service had started. I mean, they're already on the air. They're broadcasting live. And this fellow come in and said he had a bag with a drawstring on it, and that's what he carried his tracks in. He had a track for everything, man. I mean, he had a drawstring, and he put it around his wrist, and that's where he carried it. And said he'd come in one Sunday morning, that door back there, after the service already started, and he'd swing in that bag, and he'd go all the way across the auditorium and sit down over there. And said next Sunday he'd come in back there and come over here and sit. And then the next Sunday he'd come in there and go over there and sit, you know, swinging that bag. And one morning after church, Dr. Malone said to his wife, Joyce, said, "What is there about my ministry that draws every nut in town?" Well, he knew she'd say, "Tom, that's not so," but she didn't say that. She said, "I don't know what it is, you know." And that don't help a preacher much. But anyway, Dr. Malone said, "Well, I'm going to have to say something to him about it." And he wasn't at about 2 weeks, man. He's sitting on the platform. They'd been a couple saved on visitation, and they come down that morning, present themselves for church membership, baptism. And Dr. Malone leaned over, just good-looking couple, and he leaned over to an associate pastor and said, "Who won that couple of Christ?" And sure enough, is that guy come in that door and sit over here swinging a tract bag 2 minutes after church time every Sunday? Amen. And Dr. Malone told Joyce, "I'm going to pray God give me a church full of people come in 2 minutes late every Sunday swinging a track bag on their..." Amen. You know, I mean, the objective is not to do a certain way or not do a certain way. The objective is to conduct ourselves in such a way that we win people to Jesus Christ. People need to be saved, amen. I mean, people need to be born again. Boy, when they give them reports down to church, and Brother Bob, since you and Leonora have been gone out yonder west somewhere, boy, there's been a lot of people saved. Them boys come back, talk about how many got saved in the jail, and man, there's been a bunch of them military saved. And old Brother James Dare the other day said now, he got a call from one of them boys that got saved in the military there, and I think he's in Virginia somewhere, and said God called him to preach, and it's just all the time, people being saved. People walking that aisle trusting Christ and getting saved. And that's what it's all about. Amen. It's getting people saved. And but you know what? When people get saved on a regular basis, somebody has been involved in this matter of being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm no expert on it. I'm no specialist on it. But I just want to give you a few little things here that I've wrote down and thought that I might, pass along to you that might be a help to you. Now, here's one of the problems that I see in people winning people to Christ is they're sitting around waiting for somebody to open the door. I mean, waiting for a golden opportunity to cross your path where you've got to run or witness one of the two. Amen. It don't happen like that. Amen. And somebody said one time, it may not be a closed door. It might just have a sign on it that said, push. Amen. Most doors are not closed. It just says push. Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, open the door. You get in. I mean, there's a way somehow, some way you can get in. You know what the book of Proverbs chapter 31 says? It said there be four things upon the earth that are small, and yet they are exceedingly wise, and one of them is a spider. And the Bible said she taketh hold with her hands and maketh her way into king's palaces. Spider got the king's palace. Now, I got an idea the king's palace, when it was constructed, was sealed up pretty tight. But it wasn't sealed up tight enough to keep spider out. Amen. I believe that a spider could get in Osama bin Laden's tent. Amen. Spider can get in, I ought to be able to get in. Amen. Amen. Door's probably not closed. It's just probably an idea of pushing, you know, get in. I was in Painesville, Ohio one time. The preacher of the church there, he said, need to go to the hospital. It's a little boy down there in pediatrics, and said, they won't let anybody see him. He said, I need to go witness to his parents. Now, they'd already put a lock on the door, so there ain't nobody coming up. I mean, down at the receptionist desk, there ain't nobody coming up. You ain't going to see that little kid. I mean, you just can't go up. But there's a mom and daddy up there that's lost. There's a family that doesn't know God, and we need to get up there. How are you going to do that? Well, that preacher dressed up, looked like he stepped out of a fashion magazine, everything about him, you know. I mean, just immaculate. And I went down there with him. We parked, got out of the car, and walked up to the receptionist desk. He said, I'm Dr. So-and-so from Painesville. Where's pediatrics, please? And she said, third floor. He said, thank you. Walked off, punched the elevator button. We went up with his family. Amen. You say, was he a doctor? He had a degree about like mine. He probably bought it somewhere. You know, I got one. I give $250 for it about 30 years ago. Amen. They're a little higher now. I can get you one, amen, if you want it. But, you know, but anyway, he used it to open the door. And we went up there and witnessed to him. Amen. And so just go ahead and witness. Push the door open. Create an opportunity to be a witness. Amen. Somebody said, yeah, but you push the door open and you go in and you become too bold and you witness somebody when they really don't want you to, you're going to drive them away. Well, it's like one preacher said, where are you going to drive them to? Hell number two? Amen. They're already going to hell. Amen. Are you afraid you're going to offend somebody? You're going to hurt somebody? And so you won't say anything to them. You're going to let them die and go to hell. Hey, it hadn't been 6 months ago until a friend of mine, his wife's dad was in the hospital in Austin, Texas. Now, this guy is a staunch Roman Catholic and even works for the Knights of Columbus some. And you know what's going to happen to him? Here's this man and he's 70. Is he going to die and go to hell if somebody doesn't win him to Jesus Christ? And I said to this person, I said, well, give me his room number at the hospital, and I'll call up Capital City, and Brother Hank Thompson or Adam, some of the boys go up there and see me. He said, oh, no, that'd be a total disaster. What do you mean, total disaster? What they mean is that you go up there and make my daddy mad, and he'll think that we sent him up there, and he's going to be mad at me. Hey, your daddy's going to die and go to hell, amen. Somebody needs to push a door open there and go in there and tell them that they need to be saved. See? So what you do, push a door open. All right, now here's one, and you need to write this one down. Everybody, if you don't write it down pen and paper, you need to put it in your head. You know what you need to do? You need, when you begin to try to win people to Jesus Christ, right on the top of your prayer list, you need to put pray for wisdom. Pray that God will give you some wisdom. I mean, Solomon said that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. You need some wisdom. And I know you can read books on, you know, what is wisdom. But I can tell you in a heartbeat what wisdom is. It's the proper use of knowledge. Now, you can have knowledge without any wisdom, but you can't have wisdom without some knowledge. You got to know some things. But once you know something, you got to be able to use it rightly. Amen. And some people don't know how to use their knowledge. I mean, if you're a barber, you don't lean a fellow back in the chair and get the razor on his throat, you know, when you shaved him, and said, if you died now, you know you'd go to heaven or not. You know. I mean, your timing was wrong. Amen. You need to pray God to give you some wisdom. Amen. I remember one time there's a lady, and I've led this lady to Christ, and she's very cultured, refined, but high-spirited. I mean high-spirited. Well, whoa, buddy, she get mad in a heartbeat. Amen. And led that lady to Christ. She got saved, made a good church member, good woman, and just, you know, and her and my wife became real close friends. But anyway, one day she called, and she said, Preacher, she said, my brother in LaGrange, Georgia, had been shot in a barroom brawl. And said he's very critical, said he's in bad shape, he's in LaGrange in the hospital, and said he's lost. I said, I'll go see him. And so I drove from Pensacola, Florida to LaGrange, Georgia to see this guy. And he's laying there in the hospital bed, buddy. I mean, they blew a hole in him, and he's laying there, and he's going to be all right. But he's laying there shot, you know, somebody shot a hole in him with a shotgun and a brawl. Now, here's the catch. His sister didn't like him, and he didn't like her. You know what happened? Boy, she'd preach to him, almost going to make him get saved. And Bobby, look, you're going to hell, and you live in a wicked life, and you're sorry, and you know it, and you need to get born again. And boy, he's spitting back at her, look, you keep your religion, and you keep your church, and when I want it, I'll let you know. Now, you stay on my case, you understand? Why, it happens a lot of times with families, doesn't it? And Wilma tried to witness to Bobby, and I mean, it just boy, like two cats at each other. You know what? If I'd have walked in that hospital room and I said to that boy, I said, hey, I'm Brother Fleur down in Cantoma, Florida, and I'm your sister's pastor, that'd been the end of the conversation. Amen. It'd have been over. So I didn't do that. I went in there and talked to him. I said, man, somebody about blew you away, didn't he? He almost. I said, man, should have been shot like that myself. I said, I was out in them old joints and, you know, doing everything in the world, but God's good to me and in His mercy. And I just talked to him kind of rough and reality a little bit. And I said, you know, man, what you really need the Lord. Boy, that's what I needed. And God saved me. And thank God for His grace. Amen. I just stood there and rejoiced in the Lord a while that I didn't get blown away when I was out there. God was so good to me. And the first thing you know, that old boy started softening up. And I said, you just need the Lord. And he said, that's what I need. About his head, and I led him to Christ. Amen. And that boy got saved, and then I told him who it was. Ain't nothing he can do about it now. Amen. He got born again, but amen, that old boy got saved. You know, that's the strangest thing, Brother Charlie. I was pastoring in West Virginia, and there's a lady there, and I didn't lead her to Christ, but she looked like a mirror twin to that woman in Florida. I mean, they looked as much alike, both of them about the same size, same build, long, flowing, dark, black hair. But that woman in West Virginia, now, she had a very mild and a meek spirit about her, but she had a brother named Bobby. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? And Bobby got shot. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? He didn't get shot in the gut. He got shot in the face, buddy. I mean, somebody about blew him away with a shotgun, I think a .410 shotgun, shot him right in the face. And Marie called me and told me, and said, Preacher, said, my brother Bobby's been shot. And said, he's in the Charleston General Hospital in Charleston, about 80 miles away. I said, I'll go see him. And I went down to see him. When I walked in the hospital room, that old boy been shot in the face. They pulled his tongue out and wired it to the side of his face to keep him from swallowing it. And all he could do is grunt and look at me and cry and nod his head. That's all. Now, him and his sister, I mean, they were so close. I mean, they loved one another. I mean, they were just dear to one another and close to one another. And so when I walked in there, I said, Bobby, I'm Preacher Fleur from Summersville. I said, your sister Marie goes to our church and she's praying for you. And she loved, and just the mention of her name, it brought tears up in his eyes. Now, if I'd have done that in Georgia, that boy would have got mad at a hornet. So I didn't do it in Georgia. But he did it in West Virginia. That old boy started to weep. And I said, you know, Bobby, you really need the Lord. You know that? That's about all he could do. I read the Word of God to him, told him how to be saved, how to come to know Christ. And I said, would you like to be saved today? I said, take my hand, let's pray together. And man, he took my hand, we prayed together, and he got saved. You know what that is? That's praying for wisdom, amen? Amen. And there ain't nobody, listen, I've been to soul winning seminars, and they said that you knock on a door, and when a person comes to the door, you say this, and they'll say this, and I tried it, and they didn't say what they said they was going to say. And when they didn't say what they said they was going to say, I didn't know what to say next. Amen. You know what? I come to the conclusion that I'm not witnessing the wooden Indians. They've got personalities and they think and move and live and breathe. And only God knows how I need to deal with them. That's the reason you need to pray for wisdom. Amen. There's some people, the first time you witness to them, you better not say much. You better let them alone. Amen. But leave the door open to go back tomorrow. I mean, there are some people that you don't know when you're going to win them to Jesus Christ. Larry Brown said when he went to work up there in that Buick dealership, and they put him there on the line, and he was a mechanic, and some of the other fellows told him, said, now the old man down at the end of the line, don't even stop to speak to him, he'll preach to you. Larry said, that's all right. He said, he preaches to me, I'll just cuss him out, tell him where to put it, and that'll be the end of it. He won't ever bother me again. Well, Larry said, he walked by that old man, and he didn't say a word to him. And he got mad about that. What's he think? I'm not good enough to preach to? He didn't like that. That thing went on for about 6 weeks. And finally one evening he went in and quit time to wash up. And that old man's in there washing up. He said, how are you? Larry said, I'm all right. But said, in a little while I'm going to be a whole lot better. Old man said, me too. He said, what are you going to do this weekend? He said, I'm going to party. The old man said, me too. He said, you too. He said, me too. Larry said, when I get out of here, I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to dance and I'm going to party. I'm going to have a time until the weekend's over. That old man said, me too. He said, you going to party? He said, you ain't kidding. Special meetings at church. And said, we're going to the house of God and shout it out. We're going to have a time. We're going to have a time. We're going to have a time. Amen. And he turned to Larry and he said, there's going to come a day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You have a good weekend. Walked off. Amen. Larry said, he's on the disco floor, you know, and in his voice he could hear the Lord himself, the Lord himself, the Lord himself. He said the next day, he's cutting grass. He's trying to push that lawnmower, and he's hearing the Lord himself, 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 the Lord himself. Everywhere he turned, he can hear that echoing, the Lord himself, the Lord himself. The Lord. You know what happened? I'll tell you what. There's a man that knew he wasn't witnessing to a wooden Indian, but he prayed God give him some wisdom, and the Lord let him know how to deal with that individual. Amen. Old Larry got saved. Amen. He said, you think he really got saved? I guess he did. Amen. Pastor in that church had 2,200 in church the other day. Amen. You know, win a lot of people to Christ. But you know what? You got to pray God will show you how to witness these individuals. Amen. Amen. Ain't nobody, listen, this is not a mechanical thing. Amen. I mean, you know, you got to realize that Jesus Christ is a real, living, moving, breathing person. And that those people out there are real, living, moving, breathing people. And they've got personalities. And you got to know how to deal with them. You know, we're not careful. We get so mechanical in our Christianity that we operate like a bunch of robots. Amen. Even that fellow the other day, I kind of blew his mind a little bit, because I don't know. I'm not too deep in theology. But he's talking about there in the book of Acts where Stephen, when he's getting ready to go home, and Jesus stood up. He said, why do you think he stood up? Then he went on to tell me, you know, he's getting ready to come back, you know, if Israel had have accepted the kingdom and so on. Might have been, somebody said, you know, well, he stood up because Stephen stood for him down here and Jesus stood for him up there, and that could have been. And when you're being persecuted, he can't sit still. And he gave all kinds of reasons. He said, why do you think he stood up? I said, I think he got tired sitting down. Amen. I ain't too mechanical on it. Amen. He's a living, moving, breathing person. I believe he's been all over heaven since he's been back home. Amen. See, let's get some life in this thing. Amen. I mean, let's make this a living thing. Amen. He knows how to deal with them people. You don't. You don't. I never heard nobody in a soul winning seminar tell me that I need to pray for wisdom on how to deal with individuals. And I've had a lot of them tell me, you say this and this and this and this and this, and they'll say this and this and this, and they ain't none of them ever said this and this and this and this. They ain't never. Amen. So what are you saying? I'm saying pray for wisdom. I'll tell you something else you might want to put on your list. Learn to be bold. That don't mean arrogant. It doesn't mean hateful, and it doesn't mean rude. Amen. But man, you represent the King of Glory. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. But be bold. Amen. I might give this illustration. I might give it again in a few minutes. But a little lady in Christ, I've had good results running motels for some reason. A witness to the maid or witnessing to the desk clerk or something like that, and that's been a real good thing for me. I walked in that motel in Columbia, South Carolina to check in. Church had made me a reservation. There's two big strapping looking men standing up there. They was checking in, and so there was two desk clerks there, but I just kind of stood in the background a little bit, and she looked over those and said, can I help you? I said, you got a reservation for Fleur? And when she said that, I said, yes. She said, are you from the church? I said, for the church. And I said, yes. And I knew when she said church, she said it different than most folks. She wasn't intimidated about it. I knew. And I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I am. And smiled. Boy, these two big old bold guys, they just got intimidated and wanted to get out of there in a hurry. And I mean, they're signing the ticket, man, and they're moving on. And me and her standing there talking across each other about church. Amen. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. It's like that football player at college one time walked up to that little Christian boy, and that kid carrying his Bible, and that football player called him Sissy. Always carrying his Bible on campus, and he called him Sissy. That kid handed that ball player and said, you carry it. Amen. I turned to the other clerk, and I said, you a Christian? She said, no. But she'd been talking to me. And about 10 minutes' time, I led her to Christ. She got saved. Amen. It don't matter where it's at. It don't matter if it's in a motel room. It doesn't matter where it's at. You can lead people to Christ. Amen. Amen. And so have a little boldness about you. Amen. I heard somebody say over there in that big old church used to be there in Atlanta. Then it started picking up a little old boy there and claimed he's mentally retarded. I don't know. But he at least had a speech impediment. And started picking him up. Another church down the road, they wouldn't let him come. But this guy started picking him up, taking him to church on a bus. Well, he liked it so well, he started picking him up Sunday night. And then he started picking him up Wednesday night. That kid was thrilled to death that he got to go to church. And so after several weeks of taking this mentally retarded boy to church, he said he one night stopped at McDonald's on the way home to get some ice cream. And when they walked in McDonald's, this guy took a gospel track out and handed it to somebody and said something to him. This kid came over to him and said, brother, what did you just do? He said, I gave that person a gospel tract and told them they knew where they were going to die and going when they die. He said, can I do that? He said, sure you can. To give him a gospel tract, he walked over to a big old heavy set lady sitting over here in the corner eating ice cream. He said, here, fat foe, that'll tell you if you go to heaven when you die. Give her that gospel tract. Amen. They said that boy would go down to Atlanta to the tram, before they had all that security, and get on the train, ride it, ain't nobody driving it, and said he'd get on the train, he'd wait till 35, 40 people got in there, and the door would close, and the train take off, and he'd stand up, preach to everybody, and give him his testimony, and tell them about the saving grace of God. He'd say, now you think I'm mentally retarded, but if you don't trust Jesus, you're mentally retarded. Amen. Amen. And by the way, when you witness to somebody, don't ever think that your witness is a loss. You don't have to come back every Wednesday night and say, I led 10 people to Christ today. But you ought to witness somebody. Your witness ain't going to be a loss. I went up there to the hospital to visit Cheryl Mink, and Cheryl had been witnessed to 1,000 times by a lady in our church that she worked for. That Cheryl wouldn't get saved, Cheryl wouldn't listen, Cheryl wouldn't go to church. But she laying up there with back problems, and I went up there, and a missionary was with me, and we talked to her about the Lord, and Cheryl got saved laying there on the hospital bed that day. And I thought, well, isn't that wonderful? Then I went to the home and talked to Mike, her husband. Mike didn't want nothing to do with it. He didn't want to hear it. I tried my best. He wasn't rude. Mike was a gracious fella, but he didn't want to hear it. And I thought, well, this is a dead run. But I turned to that teenage girl, Mary. And I talked to Mary a little while about being saved. Boy, God broke her heart. And that teenage girl, Mary, got saved. And about 2 weeks later, Mike sent word for me to come talk to him. And I went down to Mike sitting there with a broken heart. And he said, preacher, the other night when you was over here trying to talk to me and I didn't listen, but he said, I heard every word you said to Mary. I'd like to be saved. And I led Mike to the Lord. About a month later, they had twin boys, both of them in the military, and both of them got furloughs at the same time. And those twin boys came and sat on the back pew of the church, and I preached the word of God and gave the invitation. Both of them stepped out of there and trusted Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Your witness ain't a loss. Just keep it out there. Amen. Keep it out there. Amen. They said, preacher, what ought to do? I'll tell you what you ought to do. Pray for some power. Pray for some power. You know, you can shout without the power of God. You can sing and preach and do a lot of things. But I'll tell you, when God births a sinner into his family and they're saved by the marvelous grace of God, it takes the power of God to save a soul. That girl led up there in the hospital, Margie Harold, had a terminal disease. She's going to die. She ain't going to live. Everybody knew it. And finally, she got so bad, the doctors said, you can call the family in. Somebody called me and told me my office wasn't a mile from the hospital. And I just jumped in the car and went up there right then. And when I went in the room, Margie was there and her brother was there. And I tried to witness to her. She was not the least bit interested in hearing the gospel. I turned to her brother and tried to talk to him. He was less interested than her. Laying there dying, supposedly dying. I didn't want to hear it. He said, what do you do in a case like that? You've done the best you can. Get in your car, go back to the office, forget about it if you can. That's not what you do. I got in my car and for about 2 hours. How do you drive around town for 2 hours? I don't know. But it did. And I'm driving around that town and said, oh, God. Why can I not have enough power in my life to even get the attention of one unsaved person? Why, God, search my heart. Know me, O Lord. See if there be any unclean thing in me. Oh, God, search my heart. Clean me up. I've got to have some power. I drove around for about 2 hours begging God for enough power to get that woman's attention. Boy, I drove back up to that hospital. Walked in that room, even the atmosphere was different. God already broke her heart. In about 10 minutes, the woman bowed her head and trusted Christ. It takes the power of God, doesn't it? Amen. Power of God. On and on you could go giving illustrations, but you just got to know this serious business. People need to be saved. I remember one time, there was a woman in the church. And she called me, and she said, my brother John has had a massive heart attack. He's in the Mobile Infirmary. Will you go see him? I said, I'll go see him. And I went right then. There's an urgency about getting people saved. This boy was a tugboat, a captain for a tugboat, went up down the Mississippi River. And right then, I felt impressed of God to go to Mobile and talk to John. And I went over and walked in his room. We talked for a few minutes. And I said, John, you need to be saved. He said, I know it. And he said, I knew you'd tell me the truth. That's the reason I sent for you. And I went through the gospel with him, told him how to be saved. John Harrison bowed his head and trusted Christ. He was saved. And after John got saved, he said, I'm not going back on the tugboats. They'd be out several days at a time. He said, I'm going to stay in. I'm going to serve God. Doesn't that be wonderful? I prayed with him again and left. Got in my car, drove 50 miles back to Pensacola. When I got out of my car, there'd been a phone call. John said, I'm out of the woods now. He said, the doctor's come in, said, I'll be going home soon. He got saved, and I left and drove 50 miles back to Pensacola. There was a phone call. Immediately after I left his room, he had another massive heart attack, died, went into eternity. I'm glad I listened to the prompting of the Spirit of God. Amen. I'll tell you something else might not be a bad idea to do. It might not be a bad idea to have some kind of a plan. Amen. Now, you always reserve the right for the Spirit of God to deviate you from anything you're doing or saying. But here's what I've got in my Bible, and I've used it a lot of times and might have given it to you. But if you got a pen, Romans chapter 10 and the verses that we have read, here's some words that I have underlined. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've got call underlined, and I've got saved underlined. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how should they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how should they hear without a preacher? And I've got believe and hear underlined. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And I have preach and sent underlined. Now, if you want the chronological order of those words, here's what you've got going backward through that passage. You've got sent, preach, hear, believe, saved, and call. Let me say it like this. You know why I'm here? God sent me. You know why God sent me? To preach. You know why God sent me to preach? So you could hear. You know why God sent me to preach so you could hear? So you could believe. Why did God send me to preach so you could hear and believe? So you could be saved. You say, does it work? First time I ever used it. And therefore, when I preach this message, I'll go back to that illustration, but it's worked several times since. I was preaching revival for Temple Baptist Church Faith Baptist Church in Temple, Texas. One day the pastor and I went to eat. I witnessed to the waitress. Just nothing. You know how it is. Later on, I was back in the same church. And the pastor said that waitress named Kim had been attending the services. I said, well, that's wonderful. He said, she's a Mormon. She's just coming for social reasons. He said, nobody can talk to her about the Lord. She won't even let you open a Bible around her. On Saturday, he said, would you like to go visit her? We've been doing some door knocking. I said, be glad to. So after we'd knocked some doors on a particular street, we drove over to this lady's house, single lady. She was just backing out of the driveway in her car. And we pulled in, she saw us, and she got out of the car. Now, we walked up there, and this pastor's already informed me that she's not even going to let you open a Bible. She's not going to let you witness to her. Well, I was kind to her. That helps a lot. Somebody said to win some, you got to be winsome. I talked to her for a few moments, and I said, now, Kim, preacher tells me we met in a restaurant before, but I said, I don't remember, but by age, you forget about everything. We laughed. And I said, Kim, this is Saturday. I'm leaving town Monday, so I don't want to be too rash, but, you know, whatever I'm going to say, I've got to say it pretty quick, don't I? And she said, I guess so. I said, Kim, has anybody ever shown you how to be saved? She said, no. I said, would you mind if I'd read a few verses here from the Scriptures to you? She said, no. I took out my New Testament. And rather than read it, I gave it to her. And I said, Kim, you a good reader? She said, I can read. I said, all right. I'd like you to read these verses. And I turned it around backwards, gave it to her, and I pointed out these verses. And she read them. I said, now, Kim, going backwards through those verses, I've got some words underlined. She said, I see them. I said, now, look at that first word I've got underlined. And she looked at it, and I said, that's sent. And words to this effect. I said, that's why I'm here. God sent me. He did, didn't he? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He sent me. Can you imagine that? God sent me to you. Now, Kim, why did God send me? Look at that next word going backward through that passage. Preach. God sent me to preach. Now, preaching's not always like what I'm doing tonight. Sometimes it's standing on a street corner talking to somebody one-on-one. And I said, God sent me to preach to you. Would you mind if I do that? She said, no. I said, okay. He said, what'd you do? Well, I went through that Bible. I quoted verses on how wicked man is. I mean, I didn't leave. I left no stone unturned in telling her her condition. But then, thank God, I began to shed light on the Son of God that died that she might be saved. And I don't know who it was, but some old-timer said, any light that'll reveal your sin will reveal His Son. So we begin to reveal sin and reveal salvation. And I preached long enough till I knew she understood. And once I knew she understood, I said, Nakim, God sent me to preach so you could hear. And you very patiently listened to what I've had to say. I appreciate it. But why did you need to hear that? Next word going backward through the passage is believe. So God sent me to preach so you could hear and believe. Do you believe what we've seen in the Word of God today? Yes, sir, I do. Why did you need to believe that? The next word going passage backward through the passage is saved. God sent me to preach so you could hear and believe and be saved. Would you like to be saved? Yes, sir. Only one thing left, isn't there? For whosoever shall call. Call. Well, if you really believe what we've seen today, in the sincerity of your heart, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, He promised to save you, didn't He? Yes, sir. Let's pray. And she prayed, trusted Christ. You say, it work? I don't know. She married the music director of a Baptist church over there. They're serving God. Amen.
Amen.
You know what the secret of it is? I tell you that passage, the secret of it is in the preaching. Don't be afraid to preach to them. Amen. Women, men, boys, girls, no matter who it is, they've got to have that word preached to them. Doesn't matter whether it's through a screen door or on a street corner. It doesn't matter where it's at. They need to be preached to. You preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, you can have people saved. Let me give you one more illustration. Maybe we'll get some soul winners. I was in Washington State. I was in Olympia. The maid came to the motel, cleaned the motel. I witnessed that maid. She claimed to be saved. I gave her a John and Romans, and on the back of that John and Romans, it had our church address on it. And she looked, and she said, Florida. She said, my boyfriend lives in Florida. And she said, he's trying to go home, you know. And said he'd like to go home now, you know, he don't have enough money for a bus ticket and that kind of thing. And I said, bring him by here. And I'd overbooked myself. I'd stayed out there longer than I should have, and I had to drive straight back. I was driving, Washington, 2,900 miles from there to Milton, Florida. And so that night, I said, bring him by here. She brought that boy by. He lived in Perry, Florida, down the east of Tallahassee a little ways. Had no money. He's Washington State, broke. He wanted to go home. And I looked at him. He didn't look too dangerous. And I said, you got a driver's license? He said, I got a Florida driver's license. I said, good. You want to ride me? He said, man, that'd be great. I said, all right. I finished service here on Sunday night at Olympia, and he told me where to pick him up. So after the service on Sunday night, I went by that little restaurant parking lot. I picked that guy up. He threw a little bag of clothes in the car, the van, and we started down the road. Wasn't in the van 5 minutes till I witnessed to him. Told him about God. He gave me to understand. He wasn't rude because he's riding me. But he gave me to understand. He was a Mormon. And he didn't need it. He didn't want to hear it. I said, well, I didn't say no more. But I thought you ride in my van. And all them tapes right there, sermon tapes. And it's a long way from here to Milton, Florida. And I started playing them preaching tapes. And from Sunday night, 10 o'clock, to Wednesday morning, about 2:30, he listened to sermons. I mean, they just one right after another. I played Clarence Sexton. I couldn't tell you who all I played. We listened to tapes. But there was one in there, testimony of Nathan Venus. And old Nathan giving his testimony. We played that one over and over and over again. Now, we drove from Olympia, Washington to Pensacola, Florida. He'd drive and I'd sleep. I'd sleep and he'd drive. He'd go down out of sleep, give him an opportunity to smoke. He didn't know I knew he was smoking, but you can smell it, man. It's terrible. But anyway, I didn't care. We got off the Interstate 65 at Atmore, Alabama. Started to cross that Route 97 toward Pensacola, over there to Cantonment. I mean, you're 30 minutes from the end of the journey. We've been driving 3 days. He's been listening to sermon tapes. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, that old boy's driving. He broke, started to cry. He stopped that van, pulled off the side of the road. He said, "I ain't never been saved. Is there any hope for me?" And there beside the road, 4 in the morning, I led that guy to Christ. Amen. About 2 years ago, I was preaching Sunday morning in Perry, Florida, and he came to the services. Amen. Working at a restaurant out there, wanted me to come by. I wanted to buy my lunch out of the service. Amen. You know what it took? It took 3 days of preaching for that guy. Amen. And there's some of the people you work with, you're going to keep telling them, and keep telling them, and keep telling them, and keep telling them. And after a while, you're going to win somebody to Jesus Christ, and they're going to say, "How much money you need? Just $160,000. Is that all you need? We pay that off." You don't know what's going to happen, brother. But you get your mind just on the dollar amount and not on the souls of men, we missed the whole thing. Amen. Amen. Now, there's probably some of you sitting here that you never want a soul to Christ, but the tragedy of it is you never tried. There's probably some of you sitting here that you've enjoyed the blessing and the thrill and the excitement of Glory Land Baptist Church, but you've put nobody in it. You hadn't added a member. You hadn't brought a visitor. There's nobody on the pew tonight because of you. Why don't we turn that around? Amen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you're not a soul winner, just to face it. Get up and come kneel around this altar and say, "Oh God, give me some wisdom. Fill me with power. Do whatever I need to win that person to Jesus Christ." Might be your daddy. Might be your mama. You might have a son or a daughter who's not saved tonight. You know what you ought to do? Get on this altar and pray that God give you the power to win that family, win that friend, win that neighbor, to win that work associate. Get them in this church. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. People are already starting to come. Who you representing tonight? Who you praying for tonight? Who can you see in your mind's eye tonight that you may be the only hope they have? You ought to bring somebody down here and put them on this altar and say, "God, I'll be responsible for them. I'll get the gospel to them." Amen. Our Father, I pray tonight, oh God, that you make me a soul winner. Lord, I'm not interested in a bunch of numbers. But I believe with all of my heart that men are lost. Men die without Christ. They have to perish. They have to go to hell. They have to burn forever. I believe that around this altar tonight are people that have children. If something don't happen, they're going to hell forever. I believe there's people around this altar tonight probably got parents. If something don't happen, they're going to die without Christ and have to go to hell, burn forever. I believe tonight there are people around this altar. They've got a brother or a sister. They've got a good friend. If something don't happen, they're going to die and go to hell. And Lord, I know out on that mission field tonight, there are billions of people, billions of people. If we don't get these missionaries out there, those folks are going to perish, going to die and go to hell. And I pray you fill us with wisdom and power to win people to Christ. Lord, may these that have come tonight be sincere. And may they look for an opportunity. Push a door open. Be bold. Pray for some wisdom. Lord, use the power of God that's available to win people to Jesus. We'll thank you for doing it. In Christ's name. Heads bowed and eyes are closed, Brother Andrews.